13 says this: let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Sin is sin because God declares it to be so. If God says, do not do this, we ought to obey that just for the pure and common sense that God said, don't do it. If God tells us to do something and we choose not to do it, we recognize that as a sin as well. Sin is any disobedience to God. But we also have to recognize, yes, that is the primary, yes, that is the biggest crime in sin. However, we cannot forget what sin is. Sin is a literal parasite that drains our lives. There are decisions out there that folks can make, and they enjoy making these decisions, and they have a lot of fun with it, but they never take stock of what it's costing them. They never stop and consider what sin is doing. In this particular case, we see the progression from lust to sin to death. And as we take a look at this, we understand that there is, of course, the terribleness of disobeying God and the punishment that comes with it. But again, there's that phrase that I keep saying, that sin always does what sin does. It leaves a mark. Right? I was out there, I was playing with the Skag. We replaced the battery, replaced the fuel filter in there. And I sat there, I got the fuel filter plugged in. Guess what was all over my hands? Gas. And it reeked. So I went over and I washed my hands. And I dried my hands. And I sat there and guess what I still smelled? Gas. So I went back over there, I washed my hands another time. I went over to the bathroom and I used some of the fancy soaps. And I washed my hands with the fancy soap with the lotion on it. And I dried it all out. And I went home and I was sitting in the car. And I was Danielle made dinner. And I go to take a bite out of the dinner that she made. And guess what I smelled? Gas. Really wasn't the best food I've ever had. Because, it just tasted like that. Now, here's the thing. We need gas. Gas does things. And we can sit there and say, yes, it runs this. And that's how my car goes. And we can make really big bonfires with it. We can do all sorts of... But it does what it does. It stinks. Sin, no matter what fun you have with it, sin, no matter how it leaves you feeling, still does what it does, and that's lead to death. Leads to death. Now again, the world will sit there and they will say, how dare you say that some things are good and some things are bad? Folks, listen to me. There are very few things that are neutral. There are things that benefit us. There are things that hurt us. There are things that benefit us while hurting us, right? Some of the medications we're on come with side effects. But there is very little in this world that does nothing. Everything does something, right? Well, you can eat celery, and celery is zero calories because you burn the calories. Okay, but it does something. There's vitamins, there's nutrients, there's this or that. It does something. So we must look at our actions. From a real eye, from a pragmatic eye, what is it that sin does in my life? We cannot be foolish in believing that certain things are innocuous, certain things will have no effect, and honestly, all they really do is make me feel better. They make me feel better. You know, there's a lot of things that can make you feel good, but there's a handful of them that God tells you not to do. And we feel as though our lives are not complete unless we can have the things that God tells us not to have. We are children. We are, right? At our house, for whatever reason, my uncle decided that what we needed was a whole bunch of candy, those candy Kinder eggs. You know what those are? You've got like a pudding on one side, like a frosting pudding hybrid thing over here. You got a toy on the other. Sent me a whole case of them. Right? Not me, of course, the kids. I sent them down to my mom's house. You know those Starbursts that Brother Dennis has back there? Those rolls? Sent me 24 of those rolls. Of course, not me, the kids. Right? we've got junk food right now. We don't normally have junk food. Mama does a good job making sure we don't have that around too much in the house. But we've got tons of it. Now, you ask me, if I take these kids, what would you guys rather have? Chicken, or reach in here, grab one of these chocolate eggs? I'll tell you right now what they would like to do. Right? Most of them would like to reach in there, grab some candy. Why? Because it feels good. It tastes good. It's awesome. But what do you need? The chicken. One does the work. One does the job. The other leaves a feeling. Now listen, I'm not sitting here saying that you shouldn't have Kinder Eggs nor Starburst. I've got both. The point of the matter is this, is that our actions must be looked at with a critical eye. What things honor God? What things dishonor God? And those things that dishonor God, what is the potential danger to them? Well, let's pull this passage of Scripture apart bit by bit. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, the word lust there, in a more modern sense, has more of a relationship kind of an aspect to it, right? However, lust is anything that draws you in from a fleshly and sinful nature kind of aspect, right? Lust can be that chocolate fountain at the wedding. You look at that and you go, ooh. Lust can be seeing something that isn't yours and wanting it. Lust can be, again, with that relationship aspect. Lust is whenever your flesh is enticed by something and you have that natural desire for it. And again, what does lust do? There are some things that we should want. If you're outside and you're working hard and you're sweating and you come in and you see that large, cool glass of water, you should want that. That's a normal thing. But when you're sitting there and the thing that you want is something you shouldn't have, when that thing that you wish to do is something God told you not to do, that is bad. And we ought to recognize, again, that it is bad. And even though it sounds good, we should stay away from it. Even though it sounds good, we should push it away. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve sat there knowing full well, I could have all of these things. I could eat of all the fruit of this garden, but I can't have that. And it took barely a conversation for her to look over and see what? That it was good for food. Look at that. There is fruit on that tree. We'll see people out there. Oh, look, they're drinking and they're doing the drugs and they're living this promiscuous lifestyle. Boy, they look like they're having fun, and they tell me that they're having fun, and they smile, so they've got to be having fun. That's got to be good. They're consuming it. They're building a life out of it. That's got to be okay, right? And God says, no, don't touch that fruit. That's poison fruit. Don't touch it. And we look over, but it looks good. And that is lust. What is lust doing? It's revving us up, going, oh, doesn't that look nice? Right? They're getting together. They're enjoying this. They're doing whatever it is that pleases them. But they don't realize that it comes at a substantial cost. We may see something that sounds good. Oh, I tell you what, if you just do this, Danielle and I don't know how we fell into this. We got to watching this TV show. And this was about people that come into customs, and customs agents stop them. And this guy, he was offered $4,000 to bring in a package. And it was several packages, really, is what it was. And you could probably guess what was in the packages. But offered $4,000. Had so much drugs on him that they seized. 7 years in jail was the cost. But that $4,000 sure sounds good, don't it? You need $4,000? That sounds real good. Well, all you got to do is sell a little, and all you got to do is participate a little. And honestly, as long as you can sit there and shut down that voice in your head, as long as you can sit there and plug your ears to what those Christians are saying, if all you can do, all you got to do is keep it a secret from people that would tell you it's wrong, and there's a tremendous payout. And yet very much we see, like Eve, she sees that fruit, and oh, what a tremendous payout took place. And we often sit there, we understand that what was said there was that if you eat of the fruit, you'll die. And very quickly, our lives began to change. And they were shortened. Adam and Eve, they would have lived forever. They would have sat in that garden for all of eternity, and everything would have been fine. But But she ate that fruit. And guess what? She didn't die immediately. She didn't die immediately. What a great commercial. You touch this, you'll die. She didn't die. And we're seeing that played out in the world today. Preachers are preaching against things. Our society has said, has sat there from what Scripture has told us that we don't do this. And there are people out there, they tempt that, they break the law, they put things in their veins, they put things in their minds, they do things with their bodies, and they go, all right, no lightning, I'm fine. All right, I had a really good time last night, I'm fine. And you don't realize what it is. I honestly, and I can't say for sure, Bible does not say, but I can speculate, right? So speculation warning. I don't think Adam and Eve truly understood what God meant by death until they were shaking the dust off of Abel's body. I don't think they fully understood. When Cain left, was chased away. I think that's when they understood. When they truly saw the effect of sin. It wasn't just about the having to sacrifice the animals. It wasn't just about having to appease God. But it came down to God told them no for a reason. They denied the wisdom of God and what he said. And that he is right. And though we may have a certain understanding, well, listen, if this was bad, it'd feel bad. If this was bad, the world would say I shouldn't do it. But I tell you what, we're all having a grand old time doing this. Listen, my boss, he runs a Fortune 500 company. If I take a little money out of the cash register, put it in my pocket, that's not a tremendously big deal. But sin does what it does. I was sitting there, I was pulling a fryer apart one time, had it all in pieces, putting it back together, having a, you know, kind of having a day of it, 90 degrees in the kitchen, fryer oil all over the place. And there's this guy, he's working, took a piece of cheese off the line, put it in his mouth. And I'm sitting there going, whoa. And I'm all right, well, I'll just kind of keep an eye on it, see how this goes. Right? I don't necessarily work in the kitchen area, I'm just in the kitchen area, right? So reaches over, grabs another piece. Manager sees him. I go, all right, well, I guess I don't have to tell the manager. And I have to get to work. You got to stop eating. Don't eat. Hour later, grabs a piece of cheese, puts it in his mouth. Got fired. You know what he had the audacity to say in the manager's office while he was being fired? Screaming at her. You're going to fire me over three pieces of cheese? No. I'm going to fire you because you knew the rules. You broke the rules. And that's how it is with God. Well, wait a minute. All I did was just a little bit. You don't understand. There's a warning of that. Now, here's the thing. We would sit there and say, well, that doesn't seem like all that big of a deal. Hey, if you came through my drive-thru and I was eating off of the line, would you want to eat the food? If I was sitting there grazing like cattle on the food that I'm putting together for you, would you come by and want to be in that drive-thru? The answer, of course, would be no. Disease, germs, contamination. If you've got your glove going from your mouth to no, thank you. No, thank you at all. See, we don't think about the larger picture of things. We just think about how we don't want to have to pay the price for what we thought looked good and sounded good. Sin always does what it does. We would say this so often that, well, it feels good, though. It feels good. Hey, come take my hand. Let's go down to the Jackson prison. And let's talk to all the people that are sitting there doing heinous crimes. That they got caught doing things that would turn your stomach. Come follow me. Let's ask them why they did what they did. Because whether that person is 5 with their hand in a cookie jar, or they're 50 with the rest of their lives in prison, the answer is the same for why they did what they did. It was because they wanted to. Because they wanted to. Because inside of them, they felt something would feel good. Why is it that you grabbed the tire iron and killed your friend? Well, I was angry and I wanted to. Well, no, I was temporarily insane, blah, blah, blah. No, for a minute, you wanted to. And you didn't control the impulse. Well, you sit there with somebody who just overdosed. Why would you do that? Well, I wanted the drug. I just didn't want what came next. We want the thing. We want to feel good. They all do the same thing. The person who drinks themselves to death, the person who goes out and they've got all these children by all these women. We've got this promiscuous thing going on, these people with the diseases and all the stuff that they're doing, they go out because they want to. But what they don't want is what comes next. What comes next is sin affects your life. Even if you are not a child of God, sin will have a grandiose effect. Right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You just need a little bit for it to leave an indelible mark. And these people that get caught up in their sin, these people who do the things that would turn our stomach, their reasoning for doing what they're doing is the same that we have with what we would consider smaller sins, right? I didn't rip $500,000 off of this charity fund, but I did go over and I stole this from the grocery store, and because everybody does it, it's perfectly okay. Right, brother? I get a kick out of the stories you tell about people just walk out with stuff over there at the Kroger. I get a kick out of that. But not in a good way. Like, I'm like, oh man, this is society now. You fill the basket, you walk right on out of there. How crazy. I mean, it happens over at the Walmart and Clyde all the time. It's just insane. But to them, why? Why would you do that? I want to, and they're a big millionaire company. They're a big billionaire company, so it's okay. The rationale is the same from here to there. Right? Why is it that you went out and you assaulted all these women? Well, because I wanted to. Well, why is it that you're out there? The sleeping around lifestyle. Why are you doing that? I want to. Reasons are the same. The reasons are the same. The difference is the sliding scale of society has said that that's wrong, so we put them in jail. But us, with our sin, we're still left out of it. Sin will degrade us. It is a parasite to our souls. It is a parasite to our bodies. It is a parasite to our bank accounts. We cannot give the argument. The number one parasite from an article that I read this morning was the pork worm. Gets everywhere. Has the ability to transfer from the blood, or transfer from the past that blood-brain barrier that you have, get into your brain. Cause seizures, strokes, all sorts of bad stuff. But you know what? Why do we do that? Why is it that we consume that? Well, they don't pay attention to the rules. They don't cook it right. They don't do this. They don't do that. And what that does is it gets into your body and it takes over. I was reading an article about a certain kind of worm or parasite that attacks fish. You ever see these? They get into the gills, and the males will stay in the gills, but the females will go out to the tongue, and they'll get a hold of that tongue and they'll drain that tongue of blood. Until the tongue is so useless that it just breaks off and goes away, and the parasite replaces the tongue. And it just kind of sits there. And the food that comes in, well, I'll get a little bite of that, and I'll get a little bite of that. Sometimes the men come up, and they'll mate, and she'll lay eggs inside the fish. And when the fish does his business, they scatter the eggs out there. Sin sucking us dry. Sin pulls at us. We had... I can't remember his last name, but we had a kid in our high school. They went out on a trip, two of them, Matt and Rachel. They went out on a trip, picked up Giardia. They came home, they were so sick, and all the water they could drink didn't do a thing. They were eating food, their body wouldn't process it. Why? Because it was going to that parasite. Right? You look at these people. Why is it that you never have any money? Because they're giving it to their sin. Why is it that you're having such trouble in your relationships? Because they're giving into sin. They're giving into their anger. They're giving into their selfishness. They're giving into the things that God told them not to do. And it is draining them dry. What lust eventually does is it gives you over to sin. And you hear that echo. You hear that call. Just live a little. I don't know if people still say that anymore, but they used to. Live a little. Enjoy a little. But many of the things that they're telling me to live a little with will cause my death. Right? Hey, why is it that we're going 95 miles an hour right now? Don't worry, live a little. That's my concern. I'm only going to live a little longer. You don't knock some of this down. Hey, what is it that you guys are doing over there? Oh, it's this drug that we bought off the internet. And you know it's safe because it's on the internet. So it's safe, right? You don't understand. We've heard stories from other people who buy off the internet say it's perfectly safe, right? Just like the cow and the pig. It's always been safe up there at the barn, never had any concerns. Yeah, every now and then somebody disappears, but they stay too long in the barn, I'm guessing. We don't know what causes that. But no, live a little. Have some of this drug. Again, that's my concern. I'll only have a little left to live. Right. Hey, why don't you drink? Well, I tell you what, one, from a thorough reading of the Bible, I don't believe that you should. I don't believe God wants me to. Number two, I'm also concerned that I might like it too much. Because I've known those that played just a little bit. And it took all of them. It took all of them. Like a card shark sitting there starting the bets off low, but eventually they've got your house, your wallet, your shoes, and your dignity. Hey, chase the feelings is what it says. Don't you want to feel good? Don't you want to have what everybody else has? You know, of a whole garden of things that I can have, there's a few branches, there's a few trees I can walk right by and still have a full and wonderful life. We got to be able to enjoy the things of life without sitting there staring at the things that God says we can't have. Right? Let's go back to that candy. Right? If I tell the kids they can't have candy today, what are they going to want? Candy, because that's in their nature. Right? The moment your doctor says, all right, now listen, you need to cut this out, what is it the first thing you're going to want to have? That thing the doctor told you not to have. Same thing works with the Lord. That is the only thing we want is the thing that God tells us not to have. And look at all these people that can have it, and I feel so sheltered and so sequestered. Those things are dangerous, they're useless, and they're costly. What are you doing? What are you doing? Right, we would sit there and look at anybody else, right? People whose houses are filled to bursting with things because stuff means the most to them. You can't even find your bathroom nor your bed. Why are you buying more stuff? Because it feels good to them. Come on, chase the feelings. Live a little, right? Have all that you want, right? Eat, sleep, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. Do whatever you want. But what you don't realize is that you may have to live after that. I was training a guy one time, and he worked with us for about a week. He was doing pretty good. He was passing all of my tests, and I was about to pass him at the end of the week, say, all right, next week he is ready for this level of work. He is ready to get into there. Let's get him going. We trained him on leasing. He was doing well, had a great personality. Got to the end of the week. He says, now listen, what I would really like to do is take next week off. I go, oh, okay, did you talk that over with your manager? Did you, like, I can't approve those things. I'm just your trainer. Like, you got to get that approved. Oh, no, they don't know. But I was hoping maybe you could talk to them, get me next week off. I go, that's between you and them. I can't get into it. Ultimately, what they did is they did this. They said, all right, you can either let me go on my vacation or I'll quit. He goes, because life is about experiences and not about money. And I sat there and I stared at him, because for the last week he'd done nothing but complain about the money issues he and his he'd had in his marriage and how they needed money and how hard it was that he was willing to work for money and this and that. And I go, all right, buddy. And I'm just kind of looking at him, and sure enough, guess what he did? He quit. Left, didn't come back. Told the manager, say, hey, listen, you either give me the week or I'm gone. The boss like, all right, it's a very good indicator of what kind of person you're going to be. Bye. And you know what? From a worldly perspective, he did the right thing. Life is about experiences. Life is about getting out there and once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. But here's the problem. After that week, you got to come back and you got to buy bread. You got to come back to a home somewhere, right? I mean, even the price of cardboard's going up. You got to live somewhere. We don't think about that. We don't think about the long term. We think about the right now, chase the feelings. We need to be more mature than that. We need to be more wise than that, that we are willing to sit there and trade our birthrights, trade our futures for just a little bit of soup. We are giving in too much to sin, and sin does never pays back the way that it claims that it will. It'll say, chase these feelings. Oh, and how about this one? Keep up with the Joneses. Hey, if there's somebody out there doing something, you need to do it bigger. I worked with a guy one time, again, sat there boasting about how no matter what party he went to, he wanted to be the guy who drank the most. And I go, what a foolish thing. What a costly thing. We were both kind of just getting out of high school. And he goes, oh, I want to drink the most. I want to drink the most. He goes, he got himself to the point where he says that he could drink. He doesn't feel anything. Well, one day I'm sitting there at work waiting for him to unlock the door. Guess who didn't show up? My coworker. Want to know why? He was at the hospital, alcohol poisoning. I never found out if he won or lost that night. Never did find out. Sin does what it does. Hey, come out here and have the things. Hey, come out here and enjoy. Hey, keep up with everybody. If this person can sleep with this many people, see how many you can go with. Hey, listen, enjoy your life. If this is where the bar is, push the bar to decadence even higher, is what the world says, is what the devil says, is what our flesh says. Hey, I can have this much. Let's go for this much. Let's really keep up with what's going on around us. Let's change our philosophies, change our bodies, change our minds so where we can just kind of keep up with everybody. That is an exhaustive attempt. You'll never catch up. And these lifestyles burn and eat and destroy the lives that live them. Yeah, you live a little, but it comes at a cost. And while you're living a little, sin lives a little, right? Right? So you've got lust that brings in the parasite of sin. And sin, what does it do? It works its work. And it lives off of you. You're out there. And the people that sell the stuff are enjoying the fact that you're buying the stuff. Right? We still have people out there selling cigarettes, and we've known for decades what it does to the body. Why? Because of money. Their greed, their sin, greed, takes into our thing where we're just wanting to feel high a little bit, get that little relief, and we're dying off of it, but they don't care. Why? Because they make the money. You got the people out there. They know how many people die in alcohol-related things. They know how many people are struggling with it, how many people get addicted to it. But guess what? That's money. Those pocket gambling places, there's a reason why. You see advertisements in Flint and Detroit, but you don't see too many of them in the more affluent areas. Money. There's a reason why you can walk into certain gas stations and all you see is Lotto. Why? Money. They don't care. Is it killing you? Is it breaking you down? They will sell the sin as long as you've got the money to buy it. And if you no longer have the money to buy it, well, you've got greedy people in the financial world willing to lend you money, knowing full well you'll never be able to pay it back. Why? So you can keep it going. So, oh, sin lives a little. Sin has a good old time. And by the way, they are so very grateful for you being out there being the advertisement. Thank you for wearing the Budweiser t-shirt. Thank you for buying our contraceptive devices. Thank you for being proud of it. Thank you for joining the parade. Thank you for doing this and thank you for doing that. So I can get the money. Because as you do it, other people do it. Well, brother, we're Christian people. We're church members. Mm-mm. I've heard, not in this church, but I tell you what, I've heard Christians that say this. Well, if brother so-and-so does that, I can do this. Thanks for advertising. Thank you. Well, I can miss church. I can skip this. I can say that. I can talk however I want. I can watch whatever I want, do whatever I want. Thank you for advertising, sin says. And the devil, meanwhile, he doesn't have to do much at all. Why? Because he's got us out there doing it for him. Why sit there and ruin a Christian with gambling? Why put all that effort into it if I've got people out there posting billboards? Why sit there and try to entice someone into promiscuity when you've got the world pushing it for you out there on the television? It's a good racket. It's a good racket. You think these people selling sin care about you? They don't care a whit about you. What they want is your money. So you know what? Keep up with the Joneses. Fire back at those who preach at us. But while sin lives a little, it's controlling you by those sins. It's leading to addiction. It's leading to family breakups. It's leading to issues. And those sins, they find you quite profitable. And thank you for advertising. As we continue on, verse 15, as we just read, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The majority of the parasites that we know about have the potential to kill its host. And that's what sin does. There are people lying in hospital beds right now seeking help and healing from the effects of their sin. We are talking literal death. There are people that lay underneath gravestones who have chased dragons, drugs, booze, whatever. Why? Because it felt good. They chased it to their graves. There are people that lay in prison with no family willing to talk to them, with no one sitting there wanting to have anything to do with them. There are people that get introduced into prison and because of the nature of their crimes, get beat up their first day, almost to the point of death because of what they did. Sin leads to death. And the most horrible death of it all is not the death from an exhausted liver. It's not the death from ruined kidneys. It's not the death from a gunshot wound, from a drug deal gone wrong. The worst death of all is the eternal death, spending eternity in hell. And by the way, that is the wages of our sin. That is the payment of it. When sin is done, when we have accumulated our sins and lived by our sins, when all is said and done, what is the payment for it? Death and an eternity in hell. But I praise the Lord that the gift of God is what? Eternal life is forgiveness. But we must deal with what it says, with what sin does. Sin leads to a death in your walk. The more you sin as a Christian, the less you're willing to walk with the Lord, the less you're able to walk with the Lord. When you're walking close with Him, the verses come easy, the decisions even easier. We're able to think soundly, and when bad things happen, we're able to stand up and be able to handle it in a God-honoring way. And the Lord gives us peace and grace and all the things we need in those situations. That's what we have when we walk close to Him. But sin, again, much like Adam and Eve, creates this problem, creates this issue where we want to hide. We'll be doing our sin, and all of a sudden we'll sew our fig leaves together real fast, won't we? Oh, that's none of your business. I can do whatever in your business. My fig leaves. Oh, you know what? What I'll do is I'll hide. Maybe if I'm over here, the Lord won't notice that I'm wearing fig leaves. Maybe if I can do this, and you'll see people, they'll do some verbal gymnastics to get around the fact that they did something they weren't supposed to do. They'll come at you. They'll attack you, right? Lord, listen, it was the woman you gave me. It wasn't me. It was that woman. She chopped it up. It was a salad. I thought I was eating a salad. You know, I was outside here, where the sun's so bright, but the woman you gave me, a tricky little thing, I tell you, it was her. That's an attack on the Lord. Did I not tell you? Yeah. We can sit there and we try to make that sound innocent, but it's not. When He sat there and said, it was the woman you gave me, He was pointing His finger, not over here. You gave me. That was a double accusation there. You gave her to me. We do that. Well, preacher, you know what? You're just nosy. I have no idea what's going on in your life. I don't know. Listen, I got enough people in my house to chase after. I'm not in your windows. I'm not scouring through your stuff. Right? We preach what we preach. But how often does a child of God get angry at the one who brings the message? Mom and Dad, you're sitting there, you got all these rules and you're oppressing me and blah, 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 blah. These things are to help you. Attacking me does not make these go away. Attacking me does not cause what I'm warning you about to not happen. It will happen. You'll have a dead walk. You won't be able to walk right in the Lord. There'll be a division between you and Him. You'll have a dead testimony. No one wants to hear anything about God from you when you're sitting there living in sin. You kill your ability to make any sense to anybody. Well, you're out there and you're cussing at so-and-so, and you're over there and everybody knows you're stealing from the boss here or there. But yet when you're sitting there in the break room and they're talking about what they did on the weekend and you want to tell them you're a Christian, you don't want to hear it, they're going to have a hard time buying it. Why? Because you've ruined your testimony. With what? With things you thought would just feel nice. Now here's the great thing about parasites. Parasites, even though they kill the host, they can live on. Right? The host will die, but their children move on. And some of them can even leave from one and go to the other. As a matter of fact, I was reading one, affects rats. Now, rats have a natural distaste for cat urine, mostly because rats are intelligent that way. It's disgusting. But there's a reason why God designed them to be that way, because what's going to eat them? A cat. The parasite tricks them into getting enticed and excited about the cat urine smell. Now, why on earth would a parasite need to do that? What would be the function of that? Well, what eats the rat? The cat. The rat's dead, but the parasite lives on. Where? Inside the cat. It just got itself a bigger fish tank. Got itself a bigger ecosystem here. And again, it can grow to maturity, have its eggs, and then as the cat, that's its business, right? As the cat walks around, here comes more rats and animals like that that don't care about what they're eating. They pick it up, and then they go to the cat, and another cat eats it. It goes on and on and on. Sin does not die with you. Sin will leave you. It'll ruin your life. It'll wreck you. It'll destroy everything about you, ruin your testimony, steal your integrity away from you, take you far away from God, as far away as it can go. But it will live on. It'll live on, and those that are influenced just like you. Why is it that despite how many people have died from lung cancer, the cigarette companies still have all this money? Why? Because there's people who started smoking at the same time that guy did, and they're still going. Why is it that when we learned all this stuff about venereal disease, why is it that we still have large amounts of venereal disease? Because the people that learned about it don't care. The people who were there when we found out about it are still living that lifestyle. Now, what else happens? Those people grow up and they live their lives and they influence other people. You've got two ways that sin will leave you. It'll leave you and live on through all the people that were influenced at the same time you were influenced. And it'll also live on in the people that you taught and or justified sin to. Right? Well, don't tell anybody at the church we do this. Listen, we're going to go to the church. We're going to tell them that next week we've got a very important meeting out of town, and that's what we're going to go to. But really what we're going to do is we're going to go to like a 4th of July cookout or something like that. We're going to do this. Why lie? Why? Because you know what you're doing? You're teaching those little people in the car with you that it's okay to lie to authority. I mean, why lie? Do you think I can tell the truth? Why lie? Well, I don't want people to look at me a certain way. You've traded people not looking at you a certain way with teaching your kids that it's okay to lie. Or are those parents that can't quite get along, so they'll sit there and they'll manipulate the kids one against the other? Guess what you've just taught the kids to do by manipulating the other? You. Why'd my kids turn out? You know, I sit there and my kids, all they ever do is cuss at me when I call them. Well, how did you talk to their mom? How did you talk to their dad in front of them? We teach them. The other church members around us, right? I remember hearing that one time. You ever hear something and you almost kind of want to hit pause on the world so you could take a second to catch your breath? Well, here's the thing. We've all got our own sins. I've got my sin. You've got your sin. And it's perfectly okay because I recognize mine. You recognize yours. I won't get on yours. You won't get on mine. Right? We all got our own sin. And this was a church member, a child of God like us. Well, I tell you what, it's okay for each. We're all going to be sinners. And we've all got our one or two. So it's fine. That's not how that works. And you know what you do? You get that around other people. And well, hey, I guess it is okay for me to have one or two. How many does the Bible say it's okay for you to have? Sin. Was it the blood of Christ? I'm no longer under the system where I could knock this out with a couple unblemished lambs. It was the blood of Christ. And what we're doing is we're justifying sin. Or go back to the conversation we had before. Hey, brother and sister so-and-so, they did this, and if they did that, it's okay for me to do this completely different thing that I view to be less of a sin than the sin they committed. We teach justification. Well, how is it that they could be this? How is it that they can be a member of a church for so long? And they feel that it's okay to do that. Well, if it's okay to do that, must be okay for me to do. We teach. What is the antibiotic to the parasite of sin? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't sit there and say, well, this isn't so bad, or else Jesus would never had to have gone to the cross. We can't sit there and say, well, hey, a little bit's okay, when we've got verses staring at us saying a little bit leaveneth the whole lump, and how much sin does it take for us to go to hell? We're born with a deserving to go to hell. Oh, folks, what we need is forgiveness, not justification. What we need is redemption, not to create a world and a society that's perfectly okay with what we're doing, because as we can see time and time again, Old Testament and New, God cares very little for the opinions of man and what they think is right and wrong. He literally wrote the book on the subject. It is Him we must abide in. So what do we do when we're caught up in sin? What is it we no longer want to have sin in our lives? We must first repent of our sin. Take the antibiotic, take whatever it is that you need to kill that parasite. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, these are the steps that I'm going to take to make sure I don't do this sin anymore. Right? If I've got to write down the food I eat, if I've got to pay closer attention to my spending, if I've got to stay away from this kind of a restaurant, if I've got to never go to this gas station again, if I don't have to, if I can't talk to these people, whatever I've got to do, I'm going to do, because sin is not worth it. Hell is a terrible payment to have to pay. Forgive me. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for that sin. We must then continue to live a sanctified life, a life that is set apart from those sins, a life that pushes them away. As the Bible says about Job, he eschews evil. We just had that sermon a couple weeks ago. He literally pulls himself off. I don't know what that stuff is called, that hydrophobic stuff you can spray on your shoes. You ever see those commercials? They spray it on their shoes and they pour mud and they pour water and it just beads right off. That needs to be your life when it comes down to sin. Yeah, but you'll feel something. You know what? I feel something when I give my kids a hug. I feel something when I'm outside throwing the ball for my dog. I feel something when I'm out kayaking. I'll feel something when I'm sitting down with a bunch of my friends. And we're having a good time. You know, next week we're going to have the 4th of July cookout. I'll feel something there too. There's a lot of joy to be had. There's a lot of excitement that we can have in lives. There's a lot of fruit and vegetables in the garden. I don't need that one. I'm going to lay it aside, because there's a lot that I can have. Right? We go to the scriptures. What does the Bible say I should or should not do? You know, I was thinking about that parasite, that pork worm that gets in and invades the brain. Isn't it funny how that is one of the animals God originally told his people, don't eat? Took us years to figure that one out, didn't it? But there's the Lord telling us from the beginning, don't do this. Now again, that's Old Testament, right? New Testament, we're told that we can. The point that I'm trying to get at is this. God knows things we don't. There are sins we even see right now that don't look like sins. We don't understand why they're bad. You know, Danielle and I, we were going up to Frankenmuth to get my mom's birthday gift. We got her a candle with a picture of her and my dad with the kids. Really cool. But anyway, we're going up there. They had the old-timey baseball games. And you ever see those? They don't have mitts, and they're just out there in the sun in these old-fashioned clothes playing baseball. I got a kick out of that. I thought it was funny. And I was kind of joking about it the entire time, you know. Oh, he tore his ACL, so doctor's going to give him 2 cigarettes and a Tylenol. He'll be all right. That was the way doctors prescribed certain things. Hey, have 2 cigarettes. We had no idea. Now we do. Picking on smoking today. I don't know why. But when we look at sin and the things that go on in our lives, are things that may not register to us. Well, why would that be wrong? We need to trust in it, because all the time when God says this is bad, we end up finding out why sometime later on. Why shouldn't I eat the pork? It doesn't make any sense. You know, that's just something Moses said. Why shouldn't we? And then you sit there and you don't pay attention that all the heathen nations are having seizures and convulsing. Oh, they must have the sickness because their gods were not smiling on them. Right? Well, hey, the Bible says that I shouldn't be sitting there having this kind of a relationship. You know, but everybody else says it's okay, and it seems to be doing all right. One day you'll find out why God doesn't want it. And at the very biggest, I mean, the headlining thing here is if God says don't, understand that he will punish you if you do it. We repent of the Lord. We adjust our lives to mirror what the Bible says we should do. Because otherwise, folks, like I keep saying, sin will do what it does. And in the end, we'll stand before God, and it will not be what Twitter says. It will not be what the United States government says. It won't be what Instagram or TikTok or the philosophers. It won't be what your college professor told you to do. It won't be what the lady with all the money at the end of the street tells you to do. Or it won't be them standing in front that you'll be standing in front of. It will be God. And the book that will be open will not be some broken philosophy book that man has written. It'll be that one right there. Did you live by? No. Right? And of course, as they're sitting there, and as a child, and as not a child, but as a lost person, you stand before the Lord. Is the blood on you or no? Have you repented or no? Don't let sin have its way with you. Don't let sin steal from you, rob from you, take your opportunities away. And remember that for every one or two trees God says don't eat off of, there's a whole garden of joy and life and excitement that you can partake in. Don't be a child and get upset about the candy and the poisons and the things that are dangerous. Focus on what you have. And I tell you what, you won't even miss those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,